Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Revelation chapter 4. John says, after these things, that is after the things of the church in chapters 2 and 3, I saw and behold a door had opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard as the sound of a shofar speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show to you things which are necessary to happen, metatauta, after these things. Immediately I became in spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. And the one who sat was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, having been clothed in white robes. And they had golden crowns upon their heads. And from the throne is going out lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne was a glassy sea, like to crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, being full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like to a lion in appearance. The second living creature, like to a calf. The third living creature had a face as a man or human. And the fourth living creature was like an eagle flying. The four living creatures, each had six wings, full of eyes around and within. And they had no rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the one who was existing, the one who is existing, and the one who is coming. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who is sitting upon the throne, to the one living forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, the one sitting upon the throne, and they worship him, the one living forever and ever. And they throw their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and on account of your will, they exist and were created. For the last few weeks, we've been studying about the four living creatures before the throne of God and how John saw them and how they worked. Today, we want to take some reading of the Old Testament to see Ezekiel's view and vision of these same creatures and exactly what he saw and had in mind. Remember that these four living creatures have four faces. Each one has four faces: the face of a man, a lion, an eagle, and a calf. And we shared with you from the Old Testament about the wanderings of the children of Israel and how they camped around the tabernacle area and we have it right up here on our board, how Judah was on the right, and their ensign was a lion. Reuben is Ensign was a man, face of a man. Ephraim was the face of a calf, and Dan was the face of an eagle. And from the top view, you can see as the population of these tribes are proportioned and given by God, that if you're looking from a top view, it gives you a cross. But also, it presents to you the four faces of the four living creatures that are presented to us in the book of Revelation. We also know that these four faces, if you want to see it that way, some people call it mysticism, but on the other hand, the Jews call it a pattern, is that the Gospels are patterned in the same way, where the Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the promised coming Messiah. So we have the Gospel of Matthew. And then we have the Gospel of Mark. Mark presents Jesus as the suffering servant. That's the calf, the domestic animal. And then Luke represents the face of a man. He presents Jesus Christ as the Son of Man and emphasizes his humanity. And then the Gospel of John presents Jesus Christ as the Son of God, his deity. And that's represented by the eagle and the tribe of Dan to the north of the tabernacle area. And so this is how, on the board, is how it looked. And the tabernacle wanderings of the children of Israel through the wilderness. We also see it in the Gospel of John. And as I said, remember, Revelation is a Jewish piece of literature. What John saw in these four living creatures, he's very much aware of, not only because of the tabernacle and the children of Israel and the ensigns for the children of Israel, but other Jewish literature, Ezekiel the prophet. This is Ezekiel chapter 1. We're reading the whole chapter to you to show you how Ezekiel, what he experienced at the throne of God. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. And it was, that's the literal translation. There are two of these conditional clauses. And it was in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth of the month, here's your next clause. I was among the captives along the river Kivar. Here's your main clause, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. And so he tells us basically the date and the geographical location of his vision. Verse 2, in the fifth of the month, it was in the fifth year of the captivity of King Jehoiakim that the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans along the river Kivar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Obviously, someone wrote in the text that the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel there. So these first three verses serve as a introduction for us about Ezekiel the prophet. He lived at the same time as Daniel and as the same time as Jeremiah. Jeremiah was an older prophet, and both Ezekiel and Daniel probably listened to Jeremiah's teachings and prophecies in Israel prior to what we call the captivity. Now, after David the king, his son Solomon took over. After Solomon died, there was civil war in Israel, and the north separated from the south. The north was known as Israel, and the south was known as Judah. 10 tribes made up the north, and 2 tribes made up the south, which was Judah. In 722 BC, the northern 10 tribes felt threatened, and so they sent messengers to Assyria and asked them to help them fight off their neighbors and their enemies, because they said to them, mistakenly, we have no way to defend ourselves. So the Assyrians said, oh, is that right? So the Assyrians came in 722 BC and conquered the northern 10 tribes known as Israel and deported them to Assyria. And then Assyria took people and replaced them from their own land. Hence, that's where the Samaritans came from, as later on they mixed with the Jews and they became what the Jews considered to be half-breeds, part Samaritan, part Jewish. So the northern 10 tribes fell 722 BC, but the southern two tribes, known as Judah, with its home in Jerusalem, still stood for several more years. Around 606 BC, a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar was coming back from one of his conquering victories for the Babylonian Empire, and he was passing by that way, and he decided to, he was going to lay a siege against Jerusalem and conquer it. It took three sieges for him finally to conquer Jerusalem. On the first siege, he took captives, and one of the captives during the first siege, his name was Daniel, and Daniel was taken into the city in Babylon. And of course, you can read his letter to say pretty much give you the historical account of what happened to him after he was taken captive in Babylon in 606 BC. But then came the second siege around 597 BC. And during that siege, the prophet Ezekiel was taken. He was approximately 25 years old. He was in line to be a priest. You have to remember that the law said you could not actively serve as a priest until you're 30 years old. So he was considered a priest, but not active. And he was taken captive when he was around 25 years old, around 597 BC. But he was put, instead of in the city where Daniel was, he was put out in the country next to the Kavar River, which is actually an irrigation channel coming off of the Euphrates River. So he was put down there to work the land. They were working as slaves. They were working as farmers while Daniel was in the city, and they did not see each other during this time. So that pinpoints for us that when Ezekiel says in the 30th year, that would be the 30th year of his own life, when he became of age according to the law to function as a priest, which is what he was. It tells us that while he was in and amongst the captives along the river Kavar, that the Spirit of God came upon him, and the hand of the Lord was upon him, that he was going to prophesy. And I think that it is interesting because he is going to prophesy that because of the sins of Israel, that they were going to spend 70 years in captivity. But his second message was, but then God is going to restore you back to the land. The false prophets went out and prophesied, and they prophesied that Ezekiel was wrong, that their prophecy was that they were only going to be in captivity for 2 years, and then they were going to go back to their homeland. Well, you know, which message are you going to receive? You know, 70 or 2? So the Jews as a whole decided that they would pick the 2. This also shows within their own hearts why God had them taken captive. It's because, and they still didn't repent. They had to wait for a whole new generation to be born to realize what their forefathers did and what their sin was, for them to be able to come to God and say, you know, it was sin, and then for God to return them to their homeland. But when Ezekiel got the call to represent God and to prophesy at his 30th year, here was his calling. Look at verse 4. And I saw, and behold, that's the same language as we're reading in the book of Revelation. And I saw, and behold, a storm wind was coming from out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire, that is fire within itself, and brightness all around it. And coming out from its middle was like the color or the appearance of amber. And from out of the midst of the fire, also from inside, came the likeness of four living creatures. And their appearance was this. They had the likeness of a man, a human. Each had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were a straight leg. They had no knuckles, they had no knees, they had no way of walking. They had a straight leg. It's how the text reads. And the soles of their feet were like the soles of the feet of a calf. So they were round. They didn't have feet. They sparkled as the color of polished bronze. The hand of a man was under their wings upon their four sides, and each of them had four faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. They were all in unison. These creatures, they did not turn in their going, but each one went straight forward. Verse 10, as for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of them four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of them four had the face of an eagle. If you look up here on the board, this is what he saw. The face of the lion was on the right. The face of the calf on the left. In the Jewish scriptures, the face of the man is in the front. And the eagle is in the back. And this is how he saw them. Remember, they all went straight forward. Verse 11. Their wings stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their bodies. And each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit desired to go. And they did not turn when they went. And for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like coals of fire burning. That's a very important aspect of them. Like the appearance of torches that are darting back and forth amongst the living creatures. The fire was bright, and from out of the fire went lightning, and the living creatures ran back and forth in the appearance like to a flash of lightning. That's how quick they were going, just like lightning. Now, when I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth alongside of each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their makeup was like the color of beryl. And all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workmanship was a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they moved, they went toward any one of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. In other words, whatever direction the Spirit wanted them to go, they would move without turning. Because they're facing four different directions. And so they would go in whatever direction that face was facing. As for their rims, even had rims back in those days, they were so high that they were awesome, which is the literal translation. Some texts say they were terrible, like you bought the wrong rims, you know. No. The Hebrew literally reads, they were awesome. These huge wheels in their rims. And their rims were full of eyes all around four of them. When the living creatures went, the wheels went alongside of them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the spirit desired to go, they went, because their spirit went, and the wheels were lifted together with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, they went. And when those stood still, they stood still. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And realize that he's looking from bottom to top, okay? He sees these living creatures. He sees these wheels. Now, Hebrew scholars believe that the wheel within a wheel is like a gyroscope. No knees, no knuckles, no feet. They have hooves like a calf. And we're looking, and we're looking for the ground up, okay? Now, some people think, and I'll warn you a little bit ahead of time here, some people think, because remember in Revelation chapter 4, what we saw actually was the throne of God, which is portable, and that these four living creatures were seen under and around the throne, carrying this throne. In Ezekiel, his picture of it is that of a chariot. Kind of interesting. The Jews believe that this is a chariot that God is on. And we'll see this. Listen to these. Listen to what it says about it. Verse 22, the likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures. The firmament, the rakia in the Hebrew, is an expanse. So what they saw was like a dome or some kind of a bottom of a platform. These living creatures were underneath this platform. Above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of crystal, stretched out over their heads. And under the firmament, their wings spread up straight, one toward another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of his body. Remember, you got two wings outstretched, and they're touching the wings of the other living creatures. And they have two wings that are covering up their body. Some people think, again, in the presence of God, cover up, keep God from seeing them. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty. That's the word Shaddai in Hebrew, mostly presented as El Shaddai, the Almighty. He says, it was like the sound of the Almighty, a tumult, like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. A voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament, over their heads, was the likeness of a throne. So now we've got the living creatures, four of them. We've got this large expanse that is like a platform area, what is like crystal. You can see through it. And above it was sitting a throne, in the appearance like a sapphire stone. The likeness of the throne was the likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw as it were the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So this is what the appearance of the brightness was all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice speaking to me. This is his calling. But take note of not just what the description is. Take note of the fact what his reaction was. We have many people today that go around and, you know, people stand in a line. It's called slain in the spirit, where they pray, touch you and pray for you and you fall over. If you're in the presence of God, as these people were, even as John was, because Revelation chapter 1 tells us that when John saw the Lord, he fell over as if he were dead. You don't have to be touched. When you're in the presence of God, if you see him in his fullness for who he is, you collapse. You fall down. It has nothing to do with touching people and having them fall over and then have them get up off the ground and then jump around the auditorium in celebration. In the front of God, you don't jump around. In front of God, you're flat on your face if you know who he is. Ezekiel chapter 10. You thought I was finished, didn't you? Ezekiel chapter 10. That was his calling. And what he did, what God did with Ezekiel is that Ezekiel was caught up into the spirit realm, just like John was. And he told Ezekiel that though he was along the river Kivar, that he'd be caught up into the spirit, and he would be taken into Jerusalem, and he would actually witness the glory of God leaving the temple in judgment. Because remember, we got one more siege to go. We've had two sieges against Jerusalem. In 586, it would be the final siege. So he says in chapter 10, and I looked, and there in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared something like a sapphire stone, having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Then the one spoke with me who was clothed with a linen cloth. That is the messenger that has been sent to Ezekiel to guide him and to explain to him what's going on. Then he spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, go in among the wheels under the cherub, fill your hands with coals of fire. Remember I told you those coals of fire, they're very important among the cherubim because they will, in the book of Revelation, throw those coals out into the earth in judgment. He's saying now to this man, this messenger, go amongst the wheels under the cherub, fill your hands with the coals of fire from amongst the cherubim and scatter them over the city. And he went in as I watched. Now the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple where the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub. Remember, the glory of the Lord is inside the Holy of Holies, and the cherub or cherubim, they're sculptured into the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. So these cherubim are all over the place, and even their representation. Right in the middle of the cherubim in the Holy of Holies is the glory of the Lord. That's his presence amongst the Jews. But the glory of the Lord lifted up from among the cherubim. Paused over the threshold of the temple, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard even in the outer court, like the sound of Almighty God when he speaks. Then it happened. When he commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, take fire from among the wheels, from among the cherubim, that he went in and stood alongside of the wheels. And the cherub stretched out his hand from among the cherubim to the fire that was amongst the cherubim, and took some of it and put it into the hands of the man clothed with linen, who took it and went out, and the cherubim appeared to have the form of a man's hand under their wings. We were told that. Both in chapter 1 here and in Revelation, that they had, there was a man's hand under the wing on all four sides. This hand reached out, grabbed the coals, gave it to the man in linen. And when I looked, there were four wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by one cherub and another wheel by each of the others. And the wheels appeared to have the color of a beryl stone. Their appearance, all four, had the appearance, as it were, as a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went toward any of their four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. In other words, they didn't turn around. They went whatever direction and didn't turn. They did not turn aside when they went, and their whole body, with their back, their hands, their wings, and the wheels that had of the four, were full of eyes all around. As for the wheels, they were called in my hearing wheel. Each one of the four faces, the first face was the face of a cherub. The second face was the face of a man. The third was the face of a lion. The fourth was the face of an eagle. And the cherubim were lifted up. This was the living creature I saw by or alongside of the river Kivar. He's making mention to Ezekiel chapter 1, which happened 1 year and 1 month earlier than this presentation here. So he says, yeah, this is the same cherubim that I saw when I was along the river Kivar. When the cherubim went, the wheels went beside them. When the cherubim lifted their wings to mount up from the earth, the wheels also did not turn from beside them. When the cherubim stood still, the wheels stood still. And when one was lifted up, the other was lifted up. For the spirit of the living creature was in them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels were beside them, and they stood at the door at the east gate of the house of the Lord, and the glory of God of Israel was above them. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel along the river Kivar, and I knew that they were cherubim. Each one had four faces, and each one four wings, and the likeness of the hand of a man was under their wings. And the likeness of their faces was the same as the faces which I had seen along the river Kivar. Their appearance and their characters, they each went straight forward. Boy, what a scene to have. How'd you like to have a calling like that? But it's again, it's seen by more than one person. This presentation was known by John before he saw it in the book of Revelation. He knew what he saw. He understood what he saw. We just didn't know Hebrew literature so that we too can understand what he was seeing and how it was going. There's another chapter that I won't read today, Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah said he saw the seraphim. Some people think that the cherubim and the seraphim are the same. The seraphim comes from seraph, that means fiery or burning. So you already get the sense that there's a lot of fire going on here. God was seen as just fire from head to toes. The book of Hebrews chapter 12 says our God is a consuming fire. And in the New Testament, it teaches either God's fire will purify you or will destroy you, whichever position you take. But our God is a consuming fire. It is awesome sight to see. And Ezekiel was allowed to see not just the throne of God, but how the glory of the Lord left the temple in Jerusalem and sat back upon the throne up in heaven above the cherubim. And it is interesting that the cherubim, as long as God's presence was inside the Holy of Holies, that the cherubim were there too. So that when the glory and the presence of God left the physical temple area to rise up into heaven, the cherubim and the wheels and everything rose up with him back into heaven. Well, it's an awesome thing. But the thing that I'm impressed with is that in the Bible, when anybody came face to face with the glory of God, they were like dead. They fell over as if they were dead. It was not a party. It's an awesome sight. He's God the Almighty, the All-Powerful. So before we went into going into chapter 5, which we'll do next week, I wanted to read Ezekiel's accounts to you so you can make the connection and see what Ezekiel saw. Again, Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw the seraphim. The seraphim have six wings, two to fly, two to cover their body, two to cover their feet. Some people believe that the seraphim are the same as the cherubim, But Isaiah calls them the seraphim, which are also creatures that apparently are up around the throne. So you can read Isaiah chapter 6 and see what they do. But you have to understand, and I didn't point it out because I was trying to read as fast as I could, but the words like and as in the description of the appearances. These are terms that Ezekiel and John were using, human terms, so that we could have some idea of what they saw. But in reality, they were allowed to see into a different dimension than we live in. We used to think that we live in three dimensions, but we actually live in four dimensions if you count time. We live in four dimensions here on Earth, and scientists say now that we live in a world that is at least 10 dimensions, which means there are six that we can't see. And the spirit realm, which is coexisting around us, we can't see. Unless God's spirit gives a person a special ability to see within that dimension. And Ezekiel and John were allowed to see that. Not only for their calling, but to actually see the glory of God leave the temple. Remember in John's, in the book of Revelation, the warning of Jesus was that if the church did not repent, that he would move the candlestick from out of its place. The very light and life of God would be removed. Leave. He didn't say that they would stop having church. That's why if you might go to a church and you go through and sit through several services and it's like, well, this is spiritually dead or in a doornail. Well, that's what has happened, is that God's spirit has left after several warnings, after whatever God sees, whenever the time is up, that church can no longer be a light, but is now fulfills the social needs of the people. God's spirit leaves. And man is left to run the church on his own with his own efforts because God's Spirit's not doing it. So it's interesting the correlation there too, the Spirit of God and the glory of God leaving the temple in Israel and God saying in Revelation to John, tell the churches if they don't repent, I'm going to remove the candlestick from out of its place. It'll no longer be a light. The Spirit of God won't be there. Close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. What a delight it is to read, especially together as a family in Christ, and to see your glory, at least explained in human terms, what Ezekiel and John saw in the spirit realm. Indeed, it was an awesome sight. We pray that you teach us to respect your almightiness, your awesomeness, that our God is a consuming fire. Not to be afraid, yet to be in respect of you. Help us also to see that no matter what we can see and sense in the physical realm, in the spirit realm, you are on the throne. You are in charge. As James says, there's no variableness nor shadow of turning, which is exhibited by these four living creatures. You know and you see all things at all times. You are carrying out your will upon the earth. Help us to sense the direction of your spirit, the presence of your spirit with us and in us and in all that we do, so that we can trust you that you are carrying out your will. We pray in Jesus' name.